catapult covered the front of the building with another firestorm, setting the bottom level ablaze. Spears came out of the front door, and a sick man fell, most of his face removed by the barbed point. Suddenly, the glass windows on the second floor shattered, and a score of armed mutants popped into view. But expecting that tactic, the furious set men forced them back inside with crossbows and hot lead.
Don't let anything get out!
Ryan clumsily tried to load the Sig Sauer, but his hands were slick with blood, and he dropped the clip.
Burn it to the ground! Use everything we have! It's now or never!
Rallying to the cry, the sec men began shooting at anything that moved inside the writhing flames. A window shattered on the third story, and a sticky jumped out to land sprawling on a dead sec man. Waving a club, the muti weakly tried to rise in spite of the fact that both of its legs were clearly broken. Caught reloading, Jack dropped the rapid fire and put two 357 Magnum rounds into its head. The ring of fire was expanding, slowly forming an impassable barrier around the nest. Carrying two spears, a huge sticky tried to run through, came out sheathed in red flames. Totally blind, it raced across the street and smashed into the brick wall of a pre-dark movie theater. The muti went still, but didn't fall. The burning corpse stuck in place to the rough brickwork by its array of oozing suckers. Then another window was smashed open, and a sticky jumped onto the sill, then slapped a hand onto the outside wall. Swinging around, it pressed flat against the surface and began to scuttle around the corner of the building, just as Christie sent a long burst of 9mm rounds at the thing and missed. Then, two arrows from the sec man on top of the war wag caught it in the back, and the muti went limp, nailed in place by the wooden shafts. Gouts of orange flame were licking out of the windows by now, and the ring of fire was completed on the ground. Charred bodies dotted the landscape, a mix of norms and stickies. Changing angles, the catapult thumped again, and the roof exploded in flames. A sticky tried to jump to the next building, but only made it to a tilting telephone pole jutting from the sand. As the thing braced for another jump, Ryan finished reloading the Steyr and fired. Hit in midair, the sticky was thrown sideways and tumbled lifeless to land in the vacant lot.
Let's end this!
Bit your ass!
JB threw a grin, flying through the smoke. The military sphere went in through the smashed remains of a second-floor window. A heartbeat later, the implogren activated. A huge chunk of the pre-dark building vanished, contracting to the size of a lump of coal. The Ville sec men paused in their shooting at the site, with a thousand more stickies exposed along the bisected flooring. The hundred on the second floor had to have only been the guards. The third and fourth floors were a solid honeycomb of the weird cocoons. It was a muti army.
Hit him again!
The Baron advanced closer, firing his hand cannon non-stop. His features were illuminated by the crimson light, making the one-armed man appear to be a war god from pre-dark mythology. Madness filled his eyes, and the blaster boomed in deadly accuracy. Heartened by the sight of the Baron taking the lead, the Sekhmen rallied and doubled their assault on the burning structure. The interior beams started to bend, stretching like warm taffy. The walls cracked, floors broke apart, and the upper levels of the office building collapsed onto the lower stories in a prolonged avalanche of crumbling masonry. By dawn, the structure was reduced to a smoldering skeleton of twisted steel beams, with a few sections of broken masonry at the cornerstones.
Well, that should do it.
JB was sipping a cup of cold coffee sub. With his hat pushed back, a pale streak of clean skin was visible on the armorer's forehead. The rest of his face was almost black from the wind-blown soot. Ryan clumsily holstered his Sig Sauer with his left hand.
Yeah, they're all chilled.
Sitting on the curb across the street from the building, Ryan had stayed through the night to watch the structure burn to the ground. Then he and the Baron had led a wreck into the cellar to make sure none of the stickies had escaped into the warren of sewers below the pre-dark city. But the manhole covers had been undisturbed. Perhaps the stickies had been afraid to use the sewers because of the gators. Maybe they didn't know what the metal discs covered. It didn't really make a difference. The new breed of stickies was gone, burned out of existence.
Will you please stop moving?
Mildred dug her fingers into Ryan's arm. Ryan did as requested, coolly watching as the physician finished stitching shut the gash in his right forearm.
As Mildred bit off the fishing line, Ryan tried not to grunt from the tug on his raw flesh. Pain was a part of life. Only the dead didn't bitch. Mildred tucked the supplies into her canvas medkit.
You were lucky. No tendons were damaged and no nerves cut. Rest for a couple of weeks. You'll be good as ever.
Wish we could say the same for everybody else.
Ryan tried to make a fist. His hand was weak, and the sewn gash in his arm throbbed painfully at the attempt. Mildred forced herself to stand.
Oh, lots of folks dead, but a lot more were saved. Try to remember that.
Gingerly flexing his fingers, Ryan only nodded in reply. Without further comment, Mildred turned to walk away, looking for anybody else whose wound she could mend. A couple of healers from the Ville had arrived during the night, but there were a lot more bodies to bury than patients to fix. A lone sec man with a canvas bag was already moving among the corpses, gathering boots and blasters. The grisly work of staying alive.
Nuke storm of a night, eh, lover?
Christy squatted on the nearby sidewalk. The MP5 subgun hung at her side, the weapon dotted with ooze and dried blood. Her clothing was ripped in numerous locations, and her skin showed a lot of bruises, but the gentle waving of her hair told him that she was undamaged and healthy. Ryan placed the aching arm across his lap.
Had better. I guess we took some losses.
Baron O'Connor was chewing a piece of jerky, the motion making the tattoo on his throat seem to fly. A scattergun was slung across his back to replace the Winchester.
I guess your healer was right. A lot more survived.
Depends on whether you are sticky or not.
Jack casually stropped a knife on a piece of whetstone. Satisfied with the result, he tucked the blade up a sleeve of his jacket and pocketed the stone.
Better for us than them.
Sterling's left arm was in a sling, the shirt caked with dried blood and crystalline ooze.
Yeah, don't think we'll be troubled much by muties anymore. Even if some got away, we aced the bulk of them. And there'll never be another nest like this rad pit again. We know what to look for now.
To do is to learn.
Doc watched the clouds move by overhead. The storm hadn't broken the previous night, but the sky was still overcast. The rain, acid or not, had held off just long enough for the fire to do its job. Every now and then, Doc almost believed in luck. Everybody jerked up their heads, their hands going for weapons. Then Taylor came into view, riding a chestnut mare. Everybody relaxed, and several sec men waved in greeting as the man reined in his mount and walked her over to the Baron.
Trouble? Is my family safe?
Yes, yes. Everything is fine, my lord. Your kin and the Ville are perfectly safe.
Then why are you here?
I saw the fighting was over and decided to come over. I was watching the fight through Binox. Thought you'd like to know that the Ville was hit last night by a dozen stickies armed with torches. 4 bunches of 3.
They came in waves?
Shit, yeah. Damnedest thing. One had a torch and the others carried spears, almost as if they were guards for the first.
Combat formation.
Sterling cast a backward glance at the destroyed nest. The Ville was lucky they had managed to night creep the muties. This could have been a lot worse.
Did they try for the armory again?
Yes, they tried. But after the first attack, I had all the black powder and pre-dark brass moved to the safe room with the Baroness. The next 3 times, the nuke suckers only found barrels of dirt, and us waiting in the shadows.
Excellent news. Well done indeed.
Thank you, my lord. The way I figure, if they stopped after 4 tries, that should mean you got them all and can come home again.
We were coming back anyway. We're out of lead, powder, arrows, and molotovs. We'd have to start kicking the muties if we found any more.
Got you covered there.
Ryan patted the 6-hour at his side.
Well, you certainly have earned my personal thanks after the fight in the nest. And what the frag was that thing your man threw? The grin that blew up half the building.
Just something I found in a wrecked APC. But sorry, that was the last one.
Damn.
Is that what happened? Some pre-dark bomb?
The scout turned to face the smoky ruins.
Well, shit. I'm glad you're on our side. And triple glad those mercies up north of the zone didn't get you.
Mercies?
Just then, the corner of the burned-out building collapsed, sending out a billowing cloud of soot and burning embers. Armed sec-men rushed to the spot to check for stickies, but they found nothing.
What mercies are you talking about?
Bunch of wild-ass cold hearts running just north of here. That's what I was starting to say at the Citadel last night. When I was talking to the other Vills about the muties, I heard about some cold hearts going around chilling everybody.
Wrapping a bandage around the head of a wounded Sekhman, Mildred jerked about at the remark.
Everybody?
A feel of cold dread started to fill her stomach.
Anybody and everybody. Men, women, children. It's the damnedest thing.
Then Taylor glanced at Ryan.
And they seem to be particularly interested in men with only one eye.
Slowly, the Baron turned to look at the companions. Saying nothing, Ryan fumbled with his gun belt, attempting to buckle it on backward and put the Sig Sauer on the left side where his undamaged hand could draw the weapon.
Those cold hearts are sending out a message, a blood warning to somebody. Keep out of the zone or die.
A warning? No. It's an invitation.
And an unmistakable one at that. The only question was, who had sent it? The Whitecoats from Operation Kronos? Some old enemy returned for vengeance?
Tell us more about these strange deaths. Tell us everything.
Just then, a blinding burst of sheet lightning crashed overhead, and the dark clouds broke, pelting the pre-dark ruins with a cold, hard rain. The storm had finally arrived. Grunting from the effort, Alan and Robert Rogan swung aside the disguised gate, and a dusty Edward rolled into the woodsy glen on his motorcycle. Directing the machine across the compound, Edward skirted the campfire, circling once around Lily and nearly knocking her into the flames. But the sullen girl concentrated on stirring the taters frying in an iron skillet and gave no reaction to her tormentor. Placing the frying pan on a flat rock set near the fire, Lily took a stick with some cloth tied to the end, dipped it into a plastic bucket of honey and shine, and swabbed down the sizzling haunch of meat roasting above the flames. Pretending to write her down was her brother's second favorite game. But after the first few days of being their slave, she really didn't give a damn about anything that happened anymore. Their brutality was beyond words. Dirty tech lovers. When she was sure her brothers weren't looking, absolutely sure, the girl would liberally season their food with spit. The coffee was especially good for that. But not this night, Lily added privately. There was a large bone running through the hind leg of the grizzly bear, which meant that she might get something to eat after they were done stuffing themselves. Hopefully. Breaking to a halt near the concrete bunker, Edward pushed down the kickstand and climbed off the dirty two-wheeler. Reaching into his saddlebags, the barrel-chested man pulled out a leather eye patch and a human scalp dripping with long, silvery hair. John glanced up from his work. The tall man was sitting on a rock covered with the furry hide of a recently killed bear. On the metal table in front of him was a clean piece of white cloth covered with a disassembled combo rapid fire.
Was it them?
Nope. Another bust. Good.
Good?
John smiled without warmth, his hands moving with intimate sureness as he lubricated the recoil spring of the rapid fire and slipped it into the housing.
I want to be the one who puts Ryan on the last train west.
Alan puffed on a hand-rolled cig as he walked over.
Not gonna happen. Unless they're stoops, these outlanders will run for the end of the world once they hear that the Rogans are hunting them.
Making a detour past the campfire, Alan slapped Lily on the rear, the blow causing the girl to stumble and almost go into the flames. She drew back and started to turn toward the man with a basting stick brandished in her fist as if it were a hatchet. He grinned at the action, and Lily slumped, turning back to her work with an expressionless face. If she only had a knife or a gun.
Well, bro, Delphi says that once this Ryan hears about what has been happening here in the zone, the one-eyed bastard is going to come after us with every blaster firing. And right behind him will be the real prize, Tanner. To find Tanner, we hunt Ryan, easy as pie. And so far, Delphi's been right about everything else.
Yeah, sure, makes sense. But the son of a bitch is sure taking his sweet bloody time getting here.
Ain't nobody in a hurry to get aced.
Edward went to the waterfall. Dipping a bucket into the pond, he went back to the bike and started to wipe it down with a cloth. The water flowing off the front fender began to run crimson as the dried blood washed off. Lily demurely stepped away from the campfire.
Food's ready.
The girl stayed out of the way as the four cold hearts gathered around to use their eating knives to slice off thick pieces of the bear and fill their tin plates with mounds of taters fried in lard and canned beans. Robert used the blade to scoop up the beans, dripping with hot fat.
Maybe we need to take the chilling up a notch.
What you mean?
John bit off a piece of meat. The animal had tried to get into their base through the trees and got entangled in the barbed wire. He and his brothers had first cut the tendon so it couldn't fight or run away. Then they had skinned the bear alive.